Morning, everyone. Today's daf in the Nedarim is Chaf Vav. Saw the mission yesterday on Chaf Hey Amud Beis. It brought us to the topic of Nidrei Shkagos, and it also brought us to another big topic as well. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zeich and Ishmael Libra Gavriela Bashmua. The other topic that it brought us to was the topic of Neder Shehuta Miksaso Huta Kulo, that when I have a Neder and part of it is been released, so I'm released from the entire Neder. The pasuk says, everything that leaves your mouth, you have to accomplish, you have to fulfill. So once there is a removal of just even part of what you said, so the entire Neder gets released. That's the it's a concept which we're going to be spending really the entire of today discussing, just to make sure that we got we have a bigger picture of what's happening in the third parak of Nedarim. Third parak of Nedarim is dedicated to the topic of Nedarim that you say but you don't mean, and therefore you're going to be released immediately from the Neder. In other words, the Neder never even took effect. So Arba Nedarim Hitir Chachamim. So there are four categories of Nedarim which are going to just simply not take effect to begin with. The first one, which we discussed in the parak, is Nidrei Zeruzin. That was a motivational nedarim, where I'm just trying to get you to move from your position. In no way did I really intend to make a neder. The couple of examples we discussed there. Nidrei Havai, exaggerated nedarim, where I made a statement where I was just speaking hyperbolically. So that also does not take effect. Nidrei Shkagos, that's what we're discussing right now. The Mishnah Chafei Amud Beis got us onto the topic of Nidrei Shkagos, which is I forgot either that, and let's say I made a neder in the past and I said the following will be prohibited to me if I eat that piece of cake, thinking at the time I did not eat that piece of cake, and then someone tapped me on the shoulder and reminded me I ate it was delicious, and I just forgot at the time. So that's so that neder is not going to take hold. Or even for the future, the Mishnah says the same thing would be true. Let's say I make a neder and I connect my neder to the eating of a piece of cake, and then I go ahead and I eat the piece of cake. So the Mishnah tells us in such a scenario, if I forgot at the time, so then again there's no chalos. There's not going to be an effective component to the neder as well. And then the Mishnah gives us another example of neder. And really, this will be the segue to the entire daf today. The Mishnah describes a scenario where I go to my backyard, to my field, and I see a bunch of people eating from my fig tree, and I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking to myself, could you please stop? And then unfortunately, I let the anger get the better part of me, and I declare a neder. And in my neder, I make a declaration. And I say, Kulchem Asurim. All of you are going to be prohibited by neder that you cannot eat my figs. And then, upon getting closer to the crowd, I notice that of the people that are helping themselves, my dad's one of them. So now, look, it's, you know, I didn't invite him to the field, but he's my father. I never would have intended to make a neder against him. So, what do I say? I say, I don't say anything. I clearly made a mistake. I never would have included him in the neder. So what did the Mishnah teach us? The Mishnah teach us that not only is he not part of the neder because I never had him in mind, but once now part of my neder has been lifted and released, so the entire neder becomes lifted and released. That's what the Mishnah taught us. See the Mishnah again, once again. And it's important, by the way, this is subject to Machlokes B'Cham and Beis Hillel. Let's see the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah is going to take us through this case. So, Ra'a Osam, Ochlin Te'enim. So let's say you see a group of people eating figs. I'm just going back to the Mishnah. V'ama harei alechem karban. And then I say, these figs to you are going to be a karban. They're usher to you through a neder. And it turns out that of the group, There's a father of his, there's a brother of his, Vayuim Mahem, Acherim, and there were other people as well. So Beit Shammai, Omrim, Hein Mutarim, Mashim, Mahem, Asurim. So Beit Shammai says, okay, you obviously never intended that your father should be included in the Neder. He can continue eating, but everyone else is still going to be prohibited. Everyone else is going to be bound by the Neder. That's the opinion of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai, Omrim, Elu Ve'elu Mutarim. And Beit Shammai says, no, everyone's going to be Mutar. Why is everyone going to be Mutar? Because again, just it's going to come up again and again today. Neder Shehuta Mechlalo. I'm sorry, Shehuta Miksaso. I got to say it right. Neder Shehuta Miksaso. As long as part of the Neder has been been released. So Ahuta Kulo, the entire neder gets released. That's the principle of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai disagrees. Okay, skip a little bit in the Gemara because we did it yesterday. Gemara gives us other examples of Nidre Shkagos. But Ra'os on Ochlin. We're now at the two dots, so it's more than halfway down on the Amud. These are small Amudim. The heading is Ra'os on Ochlin. Now we're going to be discussing more today, all of today really, the concept of once part of the neder has been released, the entire neder becomes released. Tanan Hasam. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. This Mishnah comes up later in the Masechta. Poschem b'Shabbosos of a Yom Tovim. You can create a Pesach using Shabbos and Yantav. So for example, a person says, you know, this year I'm going to go without meat. Well, yeah, sure. Without meat the whole year. Okay, and so what he declares through a neder is that he is swearing, or not swearing off, that's a shvua, but he's nethering off, okay, not a popular expression, he's nethering off meat for the entire year. And so, he goes to a chacham and he says to a chacham, look, you know, a whole year of not eating meat, I think I can handle it, but not Shabbos, not Yantav. Meaning that's a little onerous. So he's looking now for a release from his neder. At least part of a release from a neder. Meaning Shabbos, Yantiv. So originally they said, okay, so you know what? So he got a partial release from his neder. Meaning Shabbos, Yantiv, you know what? He's right. Okay, so they allowed him to eat meat based on a Pesach on Shabbos and Yantav. But then Ashabar Rabbi Akiva Valimid. But then Rabbi Akiva comes in, Rabbi Akiva teaches everybody, you know, once you release them from part of his neder, you know what happens? Neder Shehuta Miksaso Hutakulo. No. Once you release them from part of the neder, so you release them from the entirety of the neder. Okay. So this case over here that the Gemara just introduced us to is very similar to the Mishnah. However, the Ran says they're not identical. And just to observe the difference, the subtle difference between the Mishnah's case and this case over here. In the Mishnah's case, what happened? Happened is he got to his field, he see a bunch of people eating figs, and he says, that's it, my figs are also to you via neder. Good. And then it turns out that his father was there. The neder on his father was never effective to begin with. Because had he known it was his father, had he realized it at the time he was making a neder, he never would have banned his father from the neder. So there, it wasn't even that his father was released from the neder. It never applied to his father whatsoever. So therefore, in our Mishnah, once part of the neder is ineffective, the entire neder becomes ineffective. Here in this Mishnah that we just quoted regarding meat for the entire year, it's a little bit different. And again, all I'm doing is just saying over the Ran, I'm saying it outside. You can see it inside if you'd like. The Ran says that in the case of meat, he says, I'm going the whole year without meat. He knows at the time when he makes a neder that when he says the whole year, it means every day, right? Sunday through Saturday. 52, or I guess if we're talking about a Jewish calendar, 48 weeks for the next 48 weeks. He knew Shabbos was included. He cannot say, like in the case of the field and the figs, oh, I didn't know Dad was there. You knew when you made an edda for the year that you're going to abstain from eating meat. You knew Shabbos was part of that deal. But then afterwards, someone went over to you, or you realized yourself, you know, it's not right. Meaning, now I'm thinking through the ramifications. I understood my neder was going to be every day for the whole year. And I understood that Shabbos was included. But Shabbos, it's not right. And there's covered Shabbos, and we have to honor the Shabbos. And part of honoring the Shabbos is to eat delicacies. And Yontav as well, Simchas Yontav, mitzvah to eat meat on Yontav. So what I didn't take into consideration, I knew they were included, and they're definitely included in my neder, but I didn't take into consideration the covered Shabbos, the Simchas Yontav. These are things that I did not take into consideration. Therefore, I go to a Chacham, and the Chacham says, were you aware, were you cognizant of Simchas Yontav? Were you cognizant of covered Shabbos? And I say, no, you're right. I want to be released. There, in this case, you're actually getting a release from your neder, meaning the neder affects everything, including Shabbos, and then now you're going to a chacham and he's releasing you. So it is a little bit different than our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, the neder never even took hold to begin with on your father, while in the case of this Mishnah, the neder did take a hold on Shabbos, but you're getting a release. But the concept...
It's like a pitta.
Yeah, it is a Pesach. But the concept is still the same concept. Once some of it is being released, either from its point of origination, that's our Mishnah, or from the point where the Chacham releases you, that's the Mishnah that we're about Shabbos. Either way, the principle is Neder Shehuktar Muktzaso Hutakulo. Once you're released from some of it, you're released from the entirety of it. Okay, that's just simply the rhyme.
Is that a Shabbos thing, or is that
It's an example. In other words, it would be true if for whatever reason you got lifted from your neder for Mondays. I don't know, Monday you love barbecuing. In other words, it doesn't matter. In other words, Shabbos is just an example of, since some of it's been released, the entirety of the neder becomes released as well. Okay. And so now what we're going to be doing from this point going forward for the remainder of today is we have a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel subscribes to this principle, and as we just learned in the Mishnah, so does Rabbi Akiva, which makes perfect sense. We have Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva lined up with this principle of Neder Shehuta Miktzaso Huta Mechlalo. And now we have on the other side, we have Beis Shammai, and I guess the original rabbis who didn't side with Rabbi Akiva, but Beis Shammai doesn't subscribe to this principle. And for the remainder of today, all we're going to do is—it sounds like a modest goal. It is a modest goal, but we're going to try to understand and maybe even modify the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on this principle of Neder Shehuta Miktzaso Huta Kula. Amar Rabba, 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. So Rava says as follows. Here's where everyone agrees. By everyone, really we mean Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That if he would have said as follows, again, we're going now to the case of our Mishnah, we're going to the case where he goes to his field and he discovers a group of people eating figs on his field. For off the tree, and he starts screaming and yelling, and he says, my figs are usher to you via neder. Okay. Now, if, let's say, this is now Rabba. Now, the confusing part of today is that there are going to be two opinions. One is Rabba and one of the other one is Rava. Okay? Now, typically speaking, it's just one of those cruel, the cruel words of Jewish history where sometimes the disputants have basically the same name, Rambam, Ramban. Okay, it's the same. It's just one letter off, and it's not by much. Here, Rabba, Rava. Okay, typically speaking, first of all, Rabba came earlier by one generation. Rava is later. And Rabba with a hey is typically pronounced Rabba. And Rava with an aleph is typically with the comments underneath. Okay, I'll try to be as clear as possible. Anyway, if let's say you go to the backyard and you see that there was a group of people there and you said, that's it. I'm making an neder against all of you. I cannot believe you're eating the figs off my tree. Those figs are prohibited to you via neder. And then you see that your father was there. So then you modify, but really not even a modification. You say basically the same sentence. Kulchem asurim chutz me'aba. All of you are asur, meaning I'm pretty much holding my ground, like I can't believe all the rest of you. But Abba, but of course, Dad, you're excluded from that list. In other words, Dad, you can go into my field and enjoy the figs off the tree anytime you'd like. Okay. If that's his change, if that's his modification, kulan asurin ve'aviv mutar. So then, according to Rabba, with a hey, there is no debate. Not even Beis Hillel would argue this is not going to be an example of Neder Shehuta Miktzaso. Lo Nechluku Ela B'Omer. However, let's say here's what his redaction would have sounded like. Had he said, Eli Hayisi Yodea Shaba Menechem, Hayisi Omer, had I seen that Dad was there, I would have said the following. Ploni, Ufloni, Asurim, V'Aba Mutter. I would have changed my entire sentence. My entire sentence would have gone something like this. You, and you, and you. And he would have actually specified, all of you are going to be usher, but you, Dad, you're going to be mutter.
But if he just, being specific, answering a certain people, why does
right.
it mention Dad?
Right. Well, just give me a moment. Let me try to flesh this out a little bit better. Okay. Now, let's spend some time going over now. Now we see the opinion of Rabba. Now let's try to understand the opinion of Rabba. Rambam is saying that if there was basically a redacted statement, but the redaction doesn't really do much in terms of changing his original statement, so Rambam is of the opinion that there is no debate. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would say that under such situation, he has not changed his neder. The neder is fundamentally the same neder. It just happens to be that there's one exclusion. You, Dad, you can continue eating. But for the rest of you, the rest of you are still cannot eat my figs via a neder. The Ran explains that, according to Rabbah, why is there no debate over here? Because his redaction is not a redaction. It's what the Ran refers to as mamidvarav, meaning it's not that part of the neder has been removed or lifted. The second version is essentially the same as the first version. He's just throwing in one exclusion. But that's not a change of neder. It's essentially the same neder. Neder in its original version was kulchem asurim, all of you are asur. Neder in version number two is kulchem asurim. Yeah, all of you are asur. Chutz me'aba. Oh, but you know what? I'll just throw in one exclusion. But that doesn't change the fundamental nature of the neder. However, explains the Ran, once you are now reformulating your neder, you're making a shinui in the neder, so now that is two things are happening, says the Ran. Number one, clearly you made a mistake. But not only did you make a mistake, meaning you didn't know your father was there, but not only did you make a mistake, but I would have rewarded my entire neder had I realized my mistake. So now we have what the Ran refers to as two changes. A mistake that was made, that's one shinui, which you want to change, and even a shinui lashon. I'm changing the words of the neder. So in version number one, I said kulchem asurim. In version number two, I'm now starting off with ploni, uploni, uploni, uploni. And I start naming people, or pointing fingers, and saying you, and you are going to be usher, but you, dead are going to be mutter. And under those circumstances, says Rabbah, now we have a debate. Beis Shammai will say, okay, dad's going to be mutter, but the rest of them are still going to be aser. And in such a situation, Beis Hillel says, no. Neder shehuta miksaser huta kula. Once part of the neder has been removed, the entire neder has been removed. Okay, and why is that significant? Whether or not he changes the formulation or he doesn't change the formulation? So the Ran goes on to explain. Because look, he gets to his field. Now, in version number one, in other words, as he approaches the field, does not realize that his father was there. He said kulchem asurim. Okay, he didn't know. He didn't realize his father was part of that crowd. Now he comes along and now a little bit closer, and he says, "Oh no, dad's there." He does not want to repeat the words kulchem asurim. Why? Even though he's going to say in just a moment chutz me'aba, because even in his now redacted version, for a moment, dad's going to think, what, me too? Oh, no, dad, not you. Chutz me'abba, except for Abba. But before he gets to those words, chutz me'abba, at one point, at that one singular moment, dad's going to think, oh, no, I'm included in this list. He said, kulchem asurim. And he does not want to say that. That's why he specifically would have gone out of his way to change it, so that not for a moment dad would think that he was included. That's why he starts off with, you're usher, you're usher, you're usher, you're usher. And then when you get to dad, you say, no, but dad, you're okay.
Why can't he make a completely new nether, go and pick up for the first nether?
So again,
not saying I'm changing.
Right.
I'm just doing another nether on top of another nether.
But well, you have to. In other words, the first nether that was said takes hold. But now, because dad was there, dad's going to be excluded.
Okay, so you can make a new nether.
Okay, I understand that. But according to Beis Hillel, that once part of the neder has been released, the entire neder is being released.
Okay,
fine. But according to right, but according to Rabbah, if the redacted version does not change anything linguistically from the original neder, so even Beis Hillel would agree that the first neder is still in force. Okay, that is Rabbah's understanding of this machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rava Amar, we're now in the top of Chavav Amin Aleph, and the other side. Rava Amar, Dekule Amar, Kol Hechad Amar, Ila, Yisi Yodesh, Abba Minechem, Hayisi Omer, Ploni, Ufloni, Asurim, V'Abba Mutar, Kulam Mutarim. Now, Rava here is going to be more lenient than Rabba. Rava's of the opinion that no, had there been a second, once he realized that dad was there, and once he was going to make now a new neder, and if the new neder was a total reformulation of that which he originally said, then we all agree that part of the neder has been removed, and once part of the neder has been removed, the entire neder has been removed. In other words, according to Rava, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree principally to this concept of once part of the neder has been removed, the rest of the neder, the remaining part of the neder also is going to be lifted as well. They agree fundamentally. And so that means now that if the after the son realizes that dad was part of that group, and he says, had I known you were there, I would have changed the entire neder altogether, we have a total agreement that not only is dad not included in the neder, the rest of them are also not included. So where is there a debate? Because obviously there is a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. However, if after having discovered that dad was there, I would not have changed my sentence. My sentence still would have been kulchem asurim. I'm just going to add two more words, chutz me abba. So Beis Shammai savri l'karab meir, damar tfos lashon rishon, ubeis hillel savri l'karab yosi, damar bigmar dvarav adam nitfas. And so here, in this circumstance, there would be a machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and the machlokus over here between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is predicated on another machlokus altogether. Let me introduce this other machlokus, and then I'll tie it back in over here. This machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, about Tfos Lashon Rishon, or Begmar Dvarav Adam Nitfas, is a machlokus in the Gemara in Temura. Gemara in Temura discusses the following. We know at the end of Sefer Vayikra, right, a couple weeks ago on Shabbos. So at the end of Sefer Vayikra, we have an issur in the Torah, what's called Temura. You're not allowed to exchange one carbon for another carbon. Okay, so if I have one carbon over here, and I'm sitting in my house, waiting to be offered, and I say to myself, you know what, I don't want that animal to be brought as a carbon. I'd rather keep that animal to myself. You know what, I'll do an exchange. So we know that when it comes to carbonos, animals are not redeemable, not exchangeable. So you can't do that. The Torah says, lo yimirenu. Then the Torah says, very interesting, the end of Parshat Bechukosai. Then the Torah says, v'im hamer yamirenu, hu usmaraso yeh kodesh. But if I do tamura, even though the Torah says you're not allowed to do it, but if I do it, you know what happens? Hu usmaraso yeh kodesh. Both the original animal and the animal that I exchange it with are both going to have kedusha. Okay, one of the unusual circumstances in the Torah where the Torah says don't do it, but if you do it, it's effective. And by the way, the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Temura has a lengthy discussion of, do we find that elsewhere in the Torah? Where the Torah says don't do something, but if I do it, it's going to be effective. Right? The Gemara over there in Temura deals with a somewhat complicated scenario where I declare an animal to be a Temura of both an Ola and a shlamim. Now, one animal cannot be both, because, in other words, those are two totally different types of karbanos. Ola is totally burnt on the mizbech. Shlamim, part of it, only a small part of it is burnt on the mizbech. The rest of it is eaten by the owners and the kohanim. Okay. I declare an animal to be an exchange, meaning I have in my house both an ola and I have a shlamim, and I want this animal to be somewhere in the middle. Well, here's what I say. I say it's tamuris ola, and this animal is also going to be Tamur Shlamim. What happens? Rav Meir is of the opinion Tfos Lashon Rishon. So those two sentences cannot go together. There's just simply no way of conflating the two sentences. So Rav Meir says, take the first thing that came out of your mouth, that's what sticks, and ignore the second statement that comes out of your mouth. That's Rav Meir's opinion. That's what's called Tfos Lashon Rishon. Literally, grab the first expression. And Rav Yossi says, no. You wanted both. Now, what does that mean, you wanted both? Half the animal is going to be a shlamim, half the animal is going to be an ola. Now, once again, that's ridiculous, that's impossible. So basically, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to wait till the animal gets a blemish. You're going to redeem the animal, and then you're going to divide the funds. Half the funds are going to go towards the purchase of an ola, and half the funds are going to be purchased go towards the purchase of a shlamim. But according to Rav Yossi, you take the totality of the statement, even though they are irreconcilable, but you take the totality of the sentence, of the statement, and the animal therefore is half ola, half shlamim. Okay? A very basic machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi in the Gemara and Temura. The Gemara now over here, according to Rava, tells us that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing along the lines of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, and it goes like this. Again, if your second statement as you approach the your fig trees is a total change from the original statement, instead of saying the words kulchem asurim, you make the statement of, you know, no, I take it back. You are asur, and you, dad, are going to be mutter. So, according to Rava, this is neder shehuta miksaso, huta kula. Good. Part of the neder has been released, the entire neder becomes released. However, if, let's say, after discovering that dad was part of that group, you stay put with kulchem asurim, and then you add another expression afterwards, chutz me'aba. So now here's how the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to play out. Beis Hillel subscribes to Rav Yossi. What's Rav Yossi's position? You take the totality of a statement. You don't just focus on the first part of the statement. You look at the totality of the statement. What's the totality of the statement? I don't want all of you to be ushered to the fig tree. Dad, you're going to be released from that neder. In fact, you're not even released from the neder. You were never included in the neder. Oh, okay. Now that part of you is now part of the group has been released. So the entire group becomes released. That's Beis Hillel subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi. You take the totality of the statement. What about Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai goes like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Tfos Lashon Rishon, that when a person makes a statement, really the focus is going to be primarily on the original part of the statement. The first part of the statement. What was the first part of the statement before he made the mistake? He said, Kulcha Masurim. What's the first part of the statement after he makes a mistake? Kulchem asurim. And according to Rav Meir, Tfos Lashon Rishon, really that's the primary part of the sentence that we should be capturing. We snapshot only the first part. There's no difference between the redacted version and the original version. Yes, it's true. In the redacted version, he does say Chutz Me'aba, but that's incidental. It's not that it's not true, it is true, but it's incidental. And so really, when I compare the original version and the second version, they are principally the same sentence coming out of his mouth. And therefore, this is not a case of neder shehuta miksaso huta kula. That is Rava's understanding of the machlokas. Okay, let's summarize. Okay, because admittedly, not a lot of Gemara, but it is complicated. So let's summarize the two positions that we've seen so far today. And after that, it really won't take that long to finish the Gemara. But let's summarize. We know this. We have a Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us that there's a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about this principle of neder shehuta miksaso huta kula. That when I make a neder, and part of the neder has been released, the entire neder has been released. Beis Hillel subscribes to that viewpoint, and Beis Shammai in our Mishnah does not subscribe to that viewpoint. In that debate, we now have another machlokas amarayim. At what are the parameters of this debate? According to Rabba, with a hey, the earlier generation Amora. So he says that the only time that the two of them, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, are debating is only going to be when your redacted statement, after you realize you made a mistake, you came to the field and you said, Kulchem Asurim. Because he didn't see his father was there. He didn't realize his father was there. And now he comes and he makes a corrected statement. And that corrected statement is essentially the same as the original statement. Kulchem asurim chutz me'aba. So according to Rabba, there is no debate. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will tell you that it's the second is really the first. And therefore, all are still going to be Asr. Meaning, even Beis Hillel will tell you that all are going to be Asr. The only time Beis Hillel will apply the principle of neder hushahuta miksaso is only in the second statement. He would have changed his words and he would have said, no, that's not what I meant. I meant, you are Asr and you, dad, are mutter. Only when he makes a shinui in the lashon, then and only then do we apply the principle of neder shehuta miksaso huta kula. But if the second statement is essentially the first statement with an exclusion of chutz me'aba, so then even Beis Hillel would say everyone is still bound by the neder. That is Rabba. Then the Gemara tells us that Rava disagrees. Rava tells us that no, that fundamentally Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree to the principle of neder shehuta miksasa huta kulo. And if in the second statement you change and you say, no, you and usher, and you're going to be mutter, even Beis Shammai would agree to Beis Hillel, neder shehuta miksasa huta kulo. It's only when the redacted statement is the same as the original statement, only with an exclusion attached to the end. The original statement was kulcham asurim. The redacted statement is kulcham asurim chutz me'aba. So here we have a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And why do we have a debate? Because remember, according to Rava, they fundamentally agreed to the principle. We have a debate over here only because they have another machlokas, the same machlokas of Remei and Rav Yossi, in terms of when a person makes a statement, are we focusing only on the original part of the statement, or do we look at the totality of the statement? Beis Shammai subscribes to Remei, or more historically accurate, Remei subscribes to Beis Shammai, either way, that we only look at Tfos Lashon Rishon, we only look at the original part of the statement, and the original part, the first part of the statement, I should say, and the first part of the statement was, Kulcham Asurim, it's a match, the Ned is still in force. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, / Beis Hillel, you take the totality of the statement. The totality of the statement excludes that. So once there's an exclusion, so then we exclude everyone else as well based on the principle of Neder Shehuta Miksaso Hutar Kulo. That was a long sentence, but yes. Okay.
If somebody wants to make two statements that of equal importance,
right?
Both are important.
Right.
A beginning and the end.
Right.
How would you make that?
It's a great question. I have a recollection that tomorrow we somehow addressed that issue. I don't remember off the top of my head, but that's great. Meaning, if you subscribe to Tfos Lashon Rishon, so how can you get out an entire sentence? Okay, good. I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know. We're now in the middle of Chavavim and Aleph, and here we go. We're going to challenge now Rava. Okay, so in this Mishnah, which we're going to see later on, so we're going to give actual examples of where do we find that according to Beis Hillel, or if you have a part, I'm sorry, according to Rabbi Akiva, but it's really the same, meaning Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel agree, where we have a partial release from a neder, we have a full release from the neder. So here we are now in this Mishnah, there are going to be three examples. Example number one, konim she'eni nana l'kulchem. So, I'm declaring a neder that I'm not getting benefit from any of you. Hutar echa mehem, hutar kulam. Once one of them gets released, once he gets released from one of them, they all get released. Good. She'eni nene lo laze v'lo laze. Lo laze u laze. Okay, either way. Or let's say example number two. I'm not going to get benefit from you. And I'm not getting benefit from you. And not from you, hutar arishon, hutar kulam. Once one of them becomes mutter, all of them becomes mutter. Example number one and example number two, to be honest, it's really not that different from one another. We're gonna be discussing that in just a moment. Huter ha'acharon, ha'acharon mutter, v'kulan asurin. If let's say the release is only from the last guy, and stay tuned because we're going to explain what that means later on. If you get a release from the last guy, only the last guy becomes permitted to you, but the remainder of them are still going to be prohibited. Okay. There are three examples in this Mishnah. Example number one and example number two are pretty similar to one another. Example number three, for some reason, you get a release only from the last guy. The last guy, quote unquote, is permitted. The rest of them are prohibited. Now, how are we going to tackle this Mishnah? Bishlama l'rabba, l'rabba, mokim l'l'resha d'amar l'zeh u'l'zeh. V'seifa d'amar l'kuchem. So according to Rabba, I actually understand the Mishnah in its entirety. There are three cases in the Mishnah, but according to Rabba, case number one and number two are pretty much the same point, just an inversion of each other. The Ran explains, and I'm paraphrasing the Ran. The Ran says that in case number one, case number two, there was an original statement and then there was a redacted statement. The original statement was, in case number one, you're all going to be upset to me. And then he realizes, oh no, I didn't realize that, again, just using the same example that we've been using all along, Dad was part of that group. Oh no, I didn't realize that, Dad, you were part of that group. You know what? You are also to me, and Dad, you are mutter to me. Good. So what happened? He realized he made a mistake. He changed his language, and as a result of that, neder shehuta miksasa huta kula. Good. In case number two of the Mishnah, same thing. Just give me a moment. Same thing, but going reverse. In other words, he started off by saying you are aser, and then he realized after spelling everyone out, oh no, that last you, that was Dad. And what you do now is you do a shinui lashon. You now say kulchem asurim chutz me'aba. All of you are aser except for Dad. Okay, and the Ron explains. Now over here, why is that language better than the first language? Meaning, you obviously wanted to change the way you formulated. So the Ron says like this, because the kulchem asurim, we made the argument earlier this morning that he didn't want to say that at all, because for a moment that's going to seem to include that. And that's why you change from kulchem asurim to you, so that not for a moment Dad thinks that he's prohibited. The Ron says the truth of the matter is you can also argue the other way. And that is, you could say like this. If you start now identifying, you're usser, and that's part of that group. So now, until you get to him, he's going to be thinking in his mind, me too? Meaning, right, my son's going off the handle, he's flying off the handle. He's ushering everybody now to his property. Am I also going to be in that clue in that list? And until you actually get to him, for a while, he's going to think, "Hey, I'm going to be included in this list." However, if you say the words "kulchem asurim chutz me'aba," so pretty quickly you're going to get to the point of all of you going to be asur except for Dad. And so, in that regard, the kulchem asurim, right? It's a moment of pain for Dad, moment of discomfort, but then really, really quickly it's going to get resolved. As opposed to you, where there, it's not just a moment. It's until you actually get to Dad, he's going to realize that he's not part of the neder. Rabba's argument is, and in both cases, there is motivation to want to change the language. And since you're changing the language, good. Neder shehuta miksasa huta kula. And then, v'seifa dharma lekulchem. And what do we do with that third case in the Braisa? In the third case in the Braisa, so Rabba says, good. You know what happened in the third case in the Braisa? No change of language. You start off with the words kulchem asurim. You end with the words kulchem asurim. The only thing you do is you make an exclusion. Rabba says, perfect. I believe that in that case, there's no debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and there's perfect agreement. That is all how to understand the Braisa, says Rabba, if you subscribe to my viewpoint. So, the very bottom of Chavav and Aleph. But according to you, now we're describing Rava. So, Bishlam Ereshim Mukim La Dam Lekuchem Ela Seva Dam Lezeh Lezeh Rebbe Akiva Hi. So, I might plead your Rabban Aleha. But according to you, Rava. Now, remember, according to Rava, not Rabba, Rava with an Aleph. According to Rava, the whole debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only based, in other words, they fundamentally agree to the principle of Neder Shehuta Miksasa Huta Kulo, and it just happens to be that if the first statement was Kulchem Asurim, and the second statement was Kulchem Asurim Chutz Me'aba, there we only have a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel based on whether we subscribe to Tfos Lashon Rishon, that's Beis Shammai, or whether we say, no, afilu b'gemar dvarav. You have to look at the totality of the sentence. But if you are going to make a change in statement, in other words, if you start off with, it's aser to you, it's aser to you, aser to you, and then you change the statement according to Rava, we all agree. Once you have a partial release from the neder, you have an entire release from the neder. And this is exactly now what bothers the Gemara. Ela seifa damar lezeh lezeh. So in the seifa, now the Ron says seifa over here means case number two. In case number two, Rabbi Akiva hi amai pligi rabban Allah. Where the Bryce's argument is, this is what Rabbi Akiva would argue. No. What do you mean, Rabbi Akiva? It's what everyone would argue. Because v'hamar divrei hakol mutter, didn't you, Rava, say that in a scenario where I'm changing the language, there's no debate, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and by extension, the Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva would all agree that this is now a perfect example of part of the nedr has been released. The entire nedr has been released. And so according to you, the Mishnah now is misleading. Because the Mishnah makes it sound like this is exclusively the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and that's not true. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and this is also the opinion of the Chachamim as well. Amalei Rava l'Rabba, l'Rabbi Akiva minicha. So the Gemara says, okay, Rabba's response to Rava would be like this. Look, Rava, you're right. The Braisa is challenging to me, but it doesn't get much better for you as well. But my mukama da amar lekulchem. So hay din hu rishon v'hay din hu acharon. So according to you, Rava, here's what I'm bothered by. Look at the way the Mishnah formulates itself. The Mishnah talks about the rishon versus the acharon. What difference does it make whether it's first or whether it's last? Meaning order shouldn't matter. The point the Mishnah should be making is, and the only point the Mishnah should be making is, once one of them gets released, and it doesn't matter whether he's the first or whether he's the last, once one of them gets released, the entire group gets released as well. And why, according to you, Rava, would the Mishnah be making a difference between the first guy and the last guy? Ella. So now, Rava says, here's how I believe the Mishnah is meant to be understood. Reisha Dama Lekulchem. So now, case number one, remember, the three cases in the Mishnah. Case number one is Kulchem. Good. Where he started off with the words Kulchem, and then he changed his tune, and he went from Kulchem to, no. He starts picking people out. And again, according to Rabba, perfect. That's a perfect illustration where, according to Rabbi Akiva, part of the net has been released, the entire net gets released. Now, what about case number two and case number three? Case number two and case number three are totally different cases. V'seifa kagon shetalan zeh bezeh. V'amar. Ploni keploni. Ufloni keploni. And what happens is as follows. Basically, I take upon myself a neder. So Ben looks at me and Ben says, oh good, you know what, that's a good idea. I want to be like him. Okay, and we go basically now around the room. And everybody now says, oh, right, the Alex sees Ben, and Alex says, oh, that was a good idea. I'm going to be like Ben. Not me, the other Ben. And basically, everyone takes a neder, but everyone attaches themselves to the person behind them. It's basically a line of people where everyone now is connected to the person in front of them. That's what case number two and case number three are describing. And the point now that the Mishnah is making in case number two is that once I get a release, so remember, Ben attached himself to me. So once I get a release, Ben gets released. Once Ben gets released, Alex gets released. In other words, everybody's connected to the person in front of them. Dekanami Ditanya. And in fact, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, before we get on to the next point of the Gemara. And now case number two and case number three is perfect. Because case number two is, if the first person gets released in this line, so like dominoes, once one falls, the rest of them fall. The third case in the Braisa is, the acharon, now you understand the word acharon. If the last person falls, well, he was only connected to the person in front of him. Person in front of him was connected to the person in front of him. In other words, it's basically all you're doing is just knocking over the last of the line of dominoes where nothing there is behind it. Good. He falls, but doesn't affect anybody else. And the Gemara says, now that we said all this, now I'm going to quote you, and now I'm going to cite you a Braisa, and all this is going to be even clearer. Deganami, Detanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Hutar Haimsai. In this line of people, where each person is detaching himself to the one in front of him, let's say someone in the middle of the group gets released from a neder. Anyone in front of him is still going to be by the neder, holding by their neder. Anyone behind them is going to fall. So Haim Sai Hemenu Ulamata Mutarin Ulamala Asurin. Anyone below him is going to be Mutar. Anyone above him is going to be Asur. Perfect. Period. So that's the way to understand the Mishnah. Case number one, change of language. Case number two, case number three, or is where one person's attaching themselves to the person in front of them. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah. Let's do this one more time. Once again, we have a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on the principle of Neder Shehuta Miksasa Huta Kula. We have a machlokas between Rabba and Rava in terms of what the parameters of the debate are. Again, according to, just keep saying it, eventually it sinks in, it kicks in. So it took me a bunch of times yesterday to really digest. According to Rabbah, right, that's the earlier Amora, that's with a hey. According to Rabbah, if you change, only under the circumstances where you change your language, where your second statement is a redaction of the first statement, only then Beis Hillel subscribes to this idea. But if you do not change your language, if the first statement was Kul Chem Asurim, and the second statement is Kul Chem Asurim, but you just add a little proviso at the end, Chutz Me'aba, according to Rabbah, we don't even have a debate. Essentially, your second statement is a mimic, is a carbon copy of the first statement, and therefore they're both going to stand. And the only exclusion is dad. But we don't say Ned Shahuta Miksasa Huta Kula.
Even according to
Beis Hillel. According to
Rabbi Akiva also?
And presumably.
But Rabbi Akiva is pretty staunch.
I understand. Right. Presumably. According to Rava, that's with an Aleph, that's a later Amora. So he says no. That in the scenario where you change your language, we all agree. We, meaning Beis Ham and Beis Hillel, all agree. Nedusha Huta Miksasa Huta Kulo. It's only in a scenario where I start off with Kul Chem Asurim, I end with Kul Chem Asurim, and I just tag on at the end Chutz Me'aba, then we have a debate between Beis Ham and Beis Hillel. Predicated on the principle of when a person makes a statement, do I focus only on the first part of the statement? That's Reb Meir, that's Tfos Lashon Rishon. Or do I look at the totality of the statement? Do I look at all of the statement? That's Reb Yose's opinion, and that would be reflective of Beis Hillel. Good. Once again, we're going to do one more proof for today, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Let's say the person has some chest pain, and he heard a rumor: onions are bad for the heart. That's the rumor that he heard. And so, based on the information, as we'll see in just a moment, it was misinformation, but based on the information now, makes a neder, he's not going to eat onions anymore. Onions are also to me like a carbon. Makes a neder. Amru lo. And then they say to him, you are misinformed. Not totally misinformed, but partially misinformed. Valo a kufri yafalalev. You know that the kufri onion, it's either the name of a particular species, or it's the name of a geography, of a place where onions are grown. Either way, you know that the kufri onion is wonderful for the heart. So, did you know that? Huter b'kufri, v'lo b'kufri b'vad huter, ela b'chol ha-bitzalim. So not only does he get a release from the kufri onion, but now that part of his neder has been released, his entire neder has been released as well. Ma'isahayav etir Rabbi Meir, b'chol ha-bitzalim. And there was an incident, and Rabbi Meir, of all people, said that not only do you get a release from part, you get a release from the entirety of your neder as well. Now, what was statement number one, and what does statement number two look like? That's important, because remember, according to Rabbah and Rava, we're going to have a debate over when exactly are the parameters of the debate. My love, da amar yila yisi yodesha kufri yafal alev, ha yisi omer, kol abitzurlim asurim, v'kufri mutar. So isn't it that, had he been now given the good information, in other words, he thought all onions were asur, so he started off with the statement of, all onions are asur. Then someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, no, you're wrong. The cardiology community thinks that the kufri onion is excellent. So wouldn't if his statement come out like this? All onions are asur, meaning no change whatsoever. All onions are asur, except for the kufri onion, which would have been mutter. And what did the Mishnah teach us? That this is a perfect illustration of neder shehuta miksaso huta kulo. Okay. Now if all that's true, so this now is going to go very well for Rava. This will not go well for Rava, because remember, Rava with a hey, right? The earlier Amara says that if that's your change, you didn't change. Meaning your second neder, your revised neder, is essentially the same as the original neder. And he was working with the premise that if that's all you've done, you haven't changed your original neder, and therefore all onions should be banned. And meanwhile, this Mishnah says that's not true. So the Gemara says, lo. Gemara says, okay, Maybe that's not what his redacted statement would have sounded like, but rather it would have sounded like this. No, his second statement would have been, you know, the red onion, the sweet onion. I'm going to run out of onions soon because I only know so many. The Vidalia onion. Okay, now that's it. Pearl onion, I think. Okay, anyway. So all of them are going to be asur. The kufri mutter, but the kufri onion is going to be mutter. So Rabbi Meir, aliba de Rabbi Kiva, aliba de Rabbanan, and Rabbi Meir subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Kiva, and the Rabbi Meir subscribes to the viewpoint of the Chachamim. Okay, so the Gemara says that is what happened, that the redacted statement is not a mimic of the first statement. It's a total redaction, and under those circumstances, we say neder shehutar miksasa hutar kula. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the daf. Tomorrow we're going to do one more round, so really the truth of the matter is that tomorrow we have to reset the machlokus once again, but okay. We have a principle of neder shehutar miksasa hutar kula, machlokus between between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in our Mishnah. It also happens to be a machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim in a Mishnah we're going to learn later on. We obviously subscribe to the viewpoint of Beis Hillel, that once part of the neder has been released, the entire neder has been released, and really the entirety of today is a machlokus between Rabba and Rava, Rabba with a hey, Rava with an aleph, Rabba and Rava, in terms of what are the parameters of the debate. Rava takes a more strict interpretation of the parameters of the debate, and he says that there's a case where they fundamentally agree that the neder is not going to be released, and there's only one case where I would have changed my language, where there and only there Beis Hillel would say, we are released from part of the neder, you're going to be released from the entirety of the neder. Rava, with an aleph, goes the other way. Rava says, no. If I would have changed my statement, we all agree, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree, that once part of the neder has been released, the entire neder is going to be released. And it's only when the second redacted version is basically the same as the first. First was Kulchem Asurim, second was Kulchem Asurim with a proviso at the end. Then, that's the only time Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would argue, based on the principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon, or do we go with Gemara Lashon as well? Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the very bottom of the Amud.